Well, where I stay when I go to Scotland, and I just came back from Scotland yesterday afternoon after a couple of days' break, there's a very fruitful grapevine. I know it seems a bit surprising. Scotland's not a renowned wine-growing region or even a grape-growing region. But this grapevine is on a south-facing wall in a protected courtyard, and it's prolific. But at this time of year, we have to start cutting it back. And when I say cutting it back, I mean seriously cutting it back, because this vine goes completely rampant. It needs serious pruning several times before it starts to flower and before it starts to fruit. And then when it starts to fruit, the little bunches of grapes need some pruning within them so that they can fully grow and fruit and colour. And by the autumn, usually not until the end of October, being Scotland, not as quite as much sun as in the more renowned wine-grown regions, by October we have some tender, sweet, really delicious, but usually very tiny grapes. Throughout the Old Testament, the vine is a symbol of Israel. And when I say Israel, I don't mean the country Israel, I mean the people of God Israel. God's special people, his special people who he loves, but a people who often go wrong and make mistakes. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." Jesus isn't a flawed vine, if you like Israel. Jesus is the true vine, and God, his Father, is the gardener. So they work together so that the vine is tended and fruitful. For vines are, of course, grown for fruit. There's no point in growing a vine if it doesn't produce fruit. So the gardener works to maximize the fruitfulness of the vine, planting, tending, watering, pruning, composting. The gardener cares for the plant in order to produce the best crop possible. So where do we fit into all that? With the true vine, Jesus tells us that we are the branches. We need to be rooted in Jesus, because if the branches are not rooted in Jesus, they will not be fruitful. But even more than that, Jesus says this: "He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit." Now, we don't want to be those branches, do we? But if we abide in Jesus, close to Jesus, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. So what does it mean to be fruitful? Well, we know from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what it looks like to be a fruitful person, flourishing and rooted in God. But fruit is also seen in our relationship with God, because it impacts. Having those fruit of the Spirit in our life impacts on what we are like, how we relate to God, how we relate to other people, how we impact in the world, how we flourish personally, how our church community flourishes, and how we show God's love in the world, how we are God's hands and feet, if you like, in the world. That's the fruitfulness that we can see. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So we do need to be rooted in Jesus, tended and watered, but we also need to be pruned so we can be fruitful. Pruning. Now, I don't know, it can be a bit of a scary concept, I think, pruning. I don't know anyone here ever gardens anything or has pruned a rose or something like that, but you need to know what you're doing, because if you chop it all off, the plant dies, but if you just chop just the right amounts off, the plant thrives again and bears even more fruit. That's what I have to do with my vine in Scotland. And the runners on that vine can go, as I've already said, completely rampant and run away with themselves. And do you think that's sometimes something that we can do? We can occupy ourselves with busyness. We can surround ourselves with possessions. How often do we observe either ourselves or others running around doing all sorts of good works, but not really being fruitful for God? Christian service isn't just about natural energy and inclination running riot, but a careful listening and discernment about what God calls each of us to do in his service. Thinking really carefully before saying yes or no to tasks we could do, because we could all do loads of things. And I have made a note to say, especially when the vicar asks you. Don't take that too seriously, no. But seriously, in listening to God, it's as important to know what not to do as to know what to do. Discernment in where God's calling us to, what our particular vocation is, what our Christian service is at this point in our lives. It's a careful discernment. We can be helped by that sometimes by talking to someone, a friend, a spiritual guide. Some of us have spiritual directors or people that we particularly talk to about those sort of things. If you're thinking about a serious vocation, there are people in our diocese and vocations advisors, all sorts of places where you can talk about those things. And I'm always happy to talk and share with you about where God's calling you to be in your life at the moment, where he's calling you to serve. But the sort of pruning that Jesus is talking about isn't just a trimming, it's also a cleansing. Sometimes we can be aware that external clutter in our lives holds us back and ties us down. We can find that decluttering, literally physical or in what we're doing, decluttering can help our spiritual lives. And we have a great example of the monastic tradition where those entering monastic life give up all their worldly possessions. This freedom from possessions, the vow of poverty, frees them to be dependent on God in a new way. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting you give up absolutely everything, but sometimes an external sorting out and clearing out can be symbolic of an internal cleansing that allows for a new fruitfulness in our lives. I certainly find it a very cathartic thing to do myself. But pruning is not enough in itself. The branches need other nurturing, and of course need to abide in the vine. So how do we abide in the vine, and how does the vine, Jesus, abide in us? It's all about being rooted in God. And one of our parish values in this parish is rooted. It's the first, and we've got rooted, exploring, authentic, and loving as our parish values. The first is rooted. And we say, by this we mean we are rooted in God and in his love for us. We seek to show this in everything we do and say. It is the in Christ that Paul talks about in so many of his letters to those early churches. It's the abiding in love that is written of, and we heard read by Tom in St. John's reading today. John said this, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. It's that closeness to God, which means that we're intimately bound with Jesus in every part of our lives. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Prayer, scripture, rootedness in God, that's how we abide in him and he abides in us, by living a life of prayer, through allowing the words of Jesus, scripture, to abide, to rest deeply within us, stopping and noticing the action of God in our lives, crying out in our need, being joyful and giving thanks, resting in hope, relying on love. This is modeled for us by Jesus, because as a child, Jesus sought out God his Father in the temple as a little boy. As he started his public ministry, Jesus went off to solitary places to spend time with his heavenly Father in prayer. At every stage of his life, Jesus was rooted in the love of his heavenly Father, and the word of Scripture abided in him. He talks about it all the time. And at his hour of need, when he faced suffering and death, he cried out to God his Father in his agony. A relationship of prayer and love, abiding deeply and profoundly in one another. Staying rooted in God is also about being in community with one another, listening and building up our relationships, sharing the sadness and the joy of our life together as a church community. Connect groups provide one way that we do that at Christchurch. Connect groups meet during the day, in the evenings, at church, at people's homes. They're wonderful, and I can see a lot of you out there who are part of them and know what that means and how it helps us in our journey with God. And if you are interested in being part of one, you're very welcome to speak to me about that. Worshipping and celebrating together, gathering around the table to remember Jesus, helps us to stay rooted in God and rooted together. As we receive the bread and the wine, we know the presence of Jesus afresh in our lives, drawing us deeper into his presence, deeper into the vine. So let's choose to abide in Jesus. It is a choice. Let's open ourselves to being tended and nurtured by God the gardener, as well as being lovingly pruned, because it is a loving action, that pruning. Let's look with expectation and joy to a rich and abundant harvest of fruit, producing fruit that is tender and sweet and nourishing, just like that Scottish grapevine. And just a final word of encouragement to those who are being baptised next Sunday. I've got 3 children and 1 young person and 3 adults. In the story from Acts of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip opened up the scriptures to him, God revealed himself to the eunuch. And when the eunuch saw water, he said, "What's to prevent me from being baptized?" So they stopped, got out of the carriage, and Philip baptized him. Baptism is all about this belonging, this rootedness, allowing your life to be rooted in God, choosing to abide with Jesus. Next week, we will all have the privilege of witnessing the decision of those being baptized to turn to Jesus, to belong to God's family, to choose afresh for that deep and profound abiding in Jesus and Jesus in them. Amen.